Tina and Jen come and share a bit on how God has touched their lives. The Apostle Paul is writing his friend Philemon, and there are no chapters to the letter, assorted verses, and from verse 4 to 7, he really encourages his friend to be active in sharing his faith. For in sharing his faith, he has refreshed the heart of the saints. And we pray that for Christina and Jen today, that through their sharing, responding to the question how God has touched their lives, we would be encouraged in our respective journey as well. Please come and share. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Hilvish, and I'm a senior at Mechanicsburg. So it all started, I've grown up in the church, like many people here, and I've been blessed with a wonderful family that's Christian, and I've had wonderful friends who have always been by my side and have shared the same beliefs as me. And so I've had my struggles, though, like many of us have, but I've always had God on my side, and that's helped me get through many things that I've had troubles with. So now my main struggle that I'm dealing with is college and picking the right one that's best for me and making sure the major that I choose is what I want to do with my life. And I've been debating like what I want to do and where I want to go. And it's been really hard, but I finally got into the college I wanted to. So I know that wherever I go or whatever I choose to do, God will always be with me and help me. He'll help me with this decision, and I'll just always have him on my side.
Hi, my name is Christina Herring, and I also am a senior this year with Jen. When asked the question, how has God really impacted my life, I'd have to start off with my family and friends. My family, my parents, my sister, and my brothers have made a huge, huge impact for me. I know I'm the oldest, and I'm going to be, since we're seniors, we're going off to college, and it's a whole different time in my life, which I will be growing. But family and friends, and friends at school, friends at youth. Jen and I have grown up in this church for 18 years, and it's amazing how youth friends and how friends that are Christians really bring you through the tough times. I know just being a believer in God, I have a different outlook with my problems, I just have a positive outlook. I take a problem and I kind of, I keep saying positive. I try to be a light and be positive, and with faith as my background, as my base in life, it is so helpful, and it has helped me through everything. And starting that with my parents, starting me, and yeah. Impact. I like to do a little. That was a really bad transition. Impact has really. Sparked, and I've renewed my faith through Impact. I know the first year that I was there, I was so excited. I was with a lot of older youth who have also, youth is huge. Youth has been a huge part of my life. And through Impact, I remember I got to experience just being around other fellow people that love God and are there and are going to be there for you through thick and thin, and they're the best friends to have, and they're the best people to be around. And again, Impact's been a huge part of my life. And normally I'm okay on a stage. I'm a little shaky. That's okay. In the end, and through high school, now that I'm a senior, I will be going to college and experiencing a whole new faith journey. I've gone through Chrysalis, and that's been huge for me, and also Impact again. And going through and going to college, I hope to expand and to show my light through to others with God, and how, and going, just walking with God is key. So. Thank you.
I often share with young people, one of the most difficult places for you to share is in your home context, where everybody knows you. And if you're able to share there, You can share anywhere. There have been four young people today that we have had sharing a bit of their journey with Jesus. So once again, I want to thank them, and I thank God for all the youth and the youth ministry emphasis of this congregation and all those who are involved in it. So would you join with me in affirming them before the Lord today? Thank you. It is also a huge privilege and honor to be here with you at First Church today. I have had the opportunity to connect with members of this congregation in a variety of ways, and certainly over the course of the summer with the invitation by Juanita to come and share on two different occasions in your Sunday school was just a delight for my soul. And knowing that this congregation has been so supportive of what God has called us to do among young people throughout the church and within community. And you have supported us in prayer, and has been so meaningful as we know we're undergirded by the prayers of many faithful of this congregation and other congregations who share our vision of youth reaching youth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've also supported us financially, and we're very, very grateful for that. We've also had some vital connections with members of your congregation, Ken Geis, who serves on our board of directors. And he has been just a wonderful blessing. I know to you and to certainly to us on the Salt and Light team, to Dan DeLong, who is your staff parish chair, who is a member of our staff on Salt and Light as well. And Dan oversees the development arm of this ministry. I'd also like to welcome another board of directors. Jane Ackerman from Mechanicsburg is with us today. Jane, it's so good to see you. There are 15 people that serve on our board of directors that help bring guidance and counsel and support us in prayer and support us in other ways too. And such a blessing. So thank you very, very much. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to follow along. I'm going to be taking a look at a couple of different passages of Scripture. They'll be noted for you on the screen as we take a look initially at this passage from 2 Chronicles. Mike has been he's been sharing. Lucretia, have you been in this sermon series as well, preaching on this? You've been preaching on the legacy of faith, legacy that have been passed down, looking at various personalities of the Scripture that God has used to inspire us in our journey. And in initial conversations with Mike about this, he was just asking me what would I be passionate to speak around, and certainly one of the first personalities that came to my mind in light of the young people of this church is Josiah. This person has been such an encourager for me as I've studied the Scriptures and allowed God to just speak life into my soul. And I have three daughters. If I had had a son, his witness has so impacted my life, I'd have named him Josiah. Just by the fact that this man lived such integrity and such passion and commitment before God. So with these passages of Scripture in mind, with these passages of Scripture in front of us, Josiah's reforms in the 2 Chronicles 34 account. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king and reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. And Josiah called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And he went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests, and the Levites, and all the people from the least to the greatest. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. And the king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, his regulations, his decrees, with all of his heart and all of his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written within the book. And from the 2 Kings account, such a marvelous summation of this man and his life's journey. Neither before nor after Josiah was there ever a king who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. And we ask for a Father's anointing upon this public reading of his holy word. Wow, we are such a blessed people. Faith formed within the crucible of relationships. through the community of faith, our own personal faith being nurtured and challenged by the Spirit of God as people who have invested a portion or all of their life within ours. We have been benefactors of the community of faith. I so like the lyric of the song that was sung by the youth choir. Like those who have gone before us, who have helped shape us, we have been recipients of generational ministry that has impacted us to the core. Some of us clearly can trace our origins of thoughts concerning God to parents, grandparents, influential figures within our own family. And then it also stands out into pastors and Sunday school teachers, persons within the community who have not only been conscientious around sharing, giving voice to the faith that's in their heart verbally, but also demonstrating, living out their passion and their commitment to the Lord Jesus. I'm so drawn by the writer of Hebrews when he writes in the 12th chapter, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He's referencing that following the 11th chapter where he gives us the names of people who have lived faithfully before God. And not all of these people were well received. Many of these people experienced criticisms and resistance. Some faced obstacles that cost them their very lives. But they stayed true and they were committed to their unending commitment and relationship to God. And again, we've had our opportunities to share with people who have had a like faith, who have been tested and challenged and pressed in many ways, and yet have stood the test, have stayed the ground, have gone the course, and have poured their life into our lives. Some of those people have graduated into glory and are with Jesus, and we have remembrances of them, and we thank God for them. Others of those folks are still here on the face of this earth. And we have a unique opportunity to draw alongside of them and say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment that is so evident in the way that you lived your life. Thank you for taking the time for someone like me. And how that word would in turn bless someone in light of their faithful witness over the years. What an opportunity. And I hope that we'd be conscientious in taking that opportunity. Be able to share those words of affirmation. Because some of those people are here, some aren't. And because we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us and whose life stories are chronicled in this book as well, we're inspired when we open it up and read and see how God challenges us and encounters us through the stories of men and women of faith throughout the ages. Josiah is one of them. If we'd have picked up his story just a couple of chapters earlier, we wouldn't have read about him, but we would have read about influential figures in his life that he would not have been very proud of. And Josiah was one early on who learned what it meant to be able to break out from beyond his past, to move from beyond his past and not be held back by his circumstances. And his circumstances were rough. In recounting our own life journey, we might be able to say, wow, we've had a rough go of it. We had a difficult start. It's been a tough journey for us. Probably going to pale in comparison to Josiah's start. Some of the aspects of his journey. His grandfather Manasseh was king of Judah. Referred to as the most vile, corrupt king that ever reigned over the people of God. Manasseh was so corrupt and vile that he would even take members of his family. He would take a son and he would walk to the edge of the cliff overlooking the valley of Ben-Hinnom. And in honor of a pagan god named Moloch, would take a child of his own and throw him off the cliff. Man, I can't understand that kind of depravity. As a parent and as a grandparent, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever. It offends every sensibility within me. That you would do something like that, and let alone to one of your own kids. This man, Josiah's grandfather, his heart was so far from God, God sent judgment upon the people. An enemy swept in Jerusalem, taking Manasseh and people captive, ripping Manasseh off the throne, holding him in captivity. What a lot of people don't know is in the midst of that captivity, when all the props got kicked out from underneath Manasseh cries out, deep within his heart to God. God hears his cry. God responds to forgive this man who's been so vile and so corrupt, so perverted, And God has forgiven him. In fact, restores him back into Jerusalem. And although he himself tasted of the redemption and mercy of God, there are consequences to our behavior. And the consequences of that leadership among the people is that the heart of the people remained very, very hard before God. And even though Manasseh had encountered a forgiving, loving God, the people remained resistant. Manasseh dies. His son Amon becomes king, like his daddy before him, corrupt and vile to the core. Here's just a perfect example of that old saying that we've heard from time and time again, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But we serve a God that can break through that old saying. And although it was true for Amon, who was also so corrupt and vile, that his own officials, his cabinet members, conspire against him and assassinate him after only 2 years of leadership over the people of God. Well, the king's dead. Who's going to be king? Now you got this 8-year-old. Eight. Do we have an 8-year-old in the crowd? Anybody in this crowd 8? Are you 8? Come on up here, young man, please. Thank you very much. Didn't ask this question in the first service. And what is your first name?
Jimmy.
Jimmy. Come here a little bit closer, Jimmy. See, I like a dude like this. And kind of like, it's normally it's like this. Okay, you're 8 years old. Can you believe that at 8 years old, you could have the responsibility of like being a president of the United States? Can you possibly imagine that? Do you think you could do something like that? I wonder if Josiah thought the same thing. Nope. Thank you, Jimmy. Let's affirm Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy. Okay, we got an 8-year-old kid. An 8-year-old kid who's been claimed now as king. Surely he had his mentors and good thing. Because those influencers in his own family history have been nothing but vile and corrupt. It wasn't going to go well for him. But again, Josiah's not going to be held back by that. He's going to break through that. And he does by intentionally seeking after God, listening to the words that were shed about another forefather of faith, David. And when he hears about David and David's pursuits for God, Josiah begins to inquire. And you know, Jeremiah wrote, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. In Psalm 105, it says, seek the Lord and His face, seek His strength continually. Jesus picks it up and says, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. And Josiah's asking, Josiah's seeking, Josiah's knocking, and the one Josiah seeks, he finds. Because he's already been found by God who invites him into a relationship. And God breaks that generational pattern of corrupt behavior and instills within Josiah a passion and desire to serve his purposes. And Josiah goes about that with haste. Immediately in his spirit, Josiah knows that the pagan worship, the altars, everything that's set up to honor these foreign gods have no place within Jerusalem, and immediately calls for a purging of these things. And Josiah is not a man to ask anybody else to do something that he's unwilling to do. Josiah stands before the people of faith with the word of the Lord and renews his own covenant with God. Recommits himself to God, and the people are responding to his leadership because they're seeing a leadership of integrity birthed through the power of the Spirit and the life of a youngin by the name of Josiah. God raising up a young person to do mighty things within the kingdom. He is not going to be held at bay. He is not going to be held back. He is not going to be constrained by his past. And how often we let stuff like that become obstacles in our lives? Issues of the past that we have not been able to move beyond. Because we've been unwilling to let go. And maybe we think that veil or that shadow is just too heavy to cut through. And yet by God's Spirit, we'll find our way cutting through because God's love always breaks through. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians, this verse has just challenged me. He says, I'm going to let go of what is behind. I'm going to let go of this past. I can't change anything there. If I could, I would. I can't, so I've got to be able to move beyond it or else it's going to hound me continually. I've got to let go of what is behind and strain and the power of that verb. I'm going to strain towards that which is ahead. Pursue the high calling that I have in Christ Jesus. You're not going to allow His past to be the stumbling block. The enemy may throw it in front of our face, but in Christ we are freed up from our past. And God's not asking, where did you come from? God already understands that. God wants to know, where are you headed? Where are you going? And for Josiah, where he was headed was an attempt to honor God in the way he lived his life, with the authority that God had invested in him, with the kingship in front of him. Lord, how can I lead? That's so inspiring. And here is a young leader turning to God. Sometimes within the faith community, we have a tendency to discredit the potential witness of our young. And believe me, God has raised up many a senior believer who have been total advocates for the ministry of young people. And I know your congregation reflects that. Not true in every congregation. There are some people who think that when teenagers become earlier, then they can use their gifts and offer something of significance to the advancement of God's kingdom. But I'd like to submit to you that developmentally, in every conceivable way, youth are capable of extraordinary commitment to someone who believes in them, able to make incredible commitments for a cause that is worthy of their complete devotion. And the cause of the Lord Jesus, young people standing up to say, here I am, Lord, like Isaiah, use me. Just like a number of you. And for a number of you, you've provided a witness. You've provided a model for young people to be nurtured in their own faith commitment. But whether we're young or whether we're more seasoned and senior in this congregation, we will not allow our age to deter us from doing our best for God. And Josiah is such an example of that. And you can flip that around and read of other personalities in the Scripture who were certainly more senior in their years, but did not allow age to be that obstacle of saying, well, I've done my time. What? And surely as we age, the form of service may change, but the call to serve God's purpose remains. Josiah is such an example of commitment to us. I mean, he did things that no kid king before him ever did. Reinstituted the sacrament of Passover, had been lost for years after Manasseh's reign. People couldn't buy sacrifices to share in the Passover. Josiah emptied the kingdom coffers and provided resources for people to be able to purchase those sacrifices and participate in the sacrament. I mean, he was concerned about the welfare of the people. One man, one young man, being used by God to have an incredible impact among God's people and for the kingdom. And if an 8-year-old kid can step up, if an 8-year-old can step up, and as he begins to mature and develop, hearing those great stories of faith that we need to pass on from generation to generation, and open his heart to God, and yield so completely, body, mind, and soul, as did Josiah, what would keep us from saying, here I am, Lord. Use me. Do within me whatever you desire to do for the fulfillment of your purposes to advance your kingdom in this day for your glory. Thanking God for all of these stories chronicled in the Book of Life that God allows to leap off the page into our own heart to encourage and inspire us as people of faith today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement that comes to us through your word, reading of the adventures of faith of men and women throughout the past, serve to inspire us and to challenge us to examine our own hearts before you. So Lord, here we are, search our hearts, know our anxious thoughts. If there's any offensive way within us, or if we're people that are allowing our past to become a barrier of moving forward in the present, Lord, convict us of that we might release that to you. And through forgiveness and by your Spirit, find the power in you and the strength to step forward in faith, to serve you in whatever way that might mean. Thank you, Lord God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.